aware that my voice is just about doing something that I don't want it to do, so I don't recognize its right to be here. And I hope you don't recognize it either, and we'll see it go. This morning I want to talk about giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. If you notice the natural world, there is summer giving way to autumn, giving way to winter, giving way to spring. It's a complete circle. Our planets are circular. We talk about our relationships in a circuitous way. We talk about entrance and closure. It's always about the completion, the beginning and the ending. But every ending is really another beginning. It's a process of life. It is circular, it is circuitous. And what's interesting about it is you can sometimes give very little and see it expand greatly. I was made aware of that as a young boy because I happen to love chili piquin peppers. And my mother showed me outside of the house where we lived that these bushes would come up in places that you wouldn't expect it, between the concrete and the house or behind the house, in places where I think, why would somebody put it there? Well, my mother explained that the birds love these peppers and that they don't have heat receptors in their mouth. They can eat these things by the dozens, stripping your bushes of the things you want, so you better get out and get them quick. Well, the reason that they they grow in different places is because the birds eat them, digest them, and the seeds are dropped wherever they might be. So I began to look for these bushes in the strangest places, and when I'd see little red and green peppers, I'd take them. Even if I had lived in an apartment a year or two before and I knew there was a bush there, I'd go back to that apartment at a certain time and raid it. I wanted to get it before the birds did. But you know, the thing that was interesting about these little chili peppers is that inside is just about two or three seeds. They're hot as fire. And if you want to anger them, they're even better. And I was told by a person who is indigenous to this area, if you go like this with them, they're even better and they're even hotter. And I love that. But the seeds are just two or three. And I notice that those seeds make bushes that are abundant. I mean, there are hundreds of peppers on these things if you get to them before the birds do. And I wondered, with three seeds, you're getting hundreds back? The universe, the land, the idea of sowing and reaping is so great because usually you get back an abundance from a handful. A farmer may have just a handful of seed corn, and it blossoms because of the way the universe is set up. This is an expansive, abundant, wonderful universe. This is a place where, if it said, if you meet it halfway, it returns to you in glorious ways, 10 or 20 fold. And I've noticed that because I like to garden. I love the peppers. I love to see things grow. It's not been something I've been able to do recently a whole lot of, but still it's in my mind that every year I'm going to go out and plant. I just like to see that happen. This circuitous thing that I'm talking about that forms a circle of completion in the mind of us is the Genesis. We're the ones who decide what we plant by the thoughts we hold in mind. Now, I'm not talking about physical plants. I'm talking about the things that we experience every day, every month, every year. Some of us have patterns that we're subconsciously planting seeds in, watering and affirming, and we don't know where they come from because we're on automatic pilot and continuing to reap what we've sown. Some of us may wonder why we have a certain person we meet, a certain relationship that repeats, a certain person we meet over and over again in different form, a certain characteristic in our personality that doesn't seem to go away. Because we haven't pulled up the bush inside our minds and said, I want to plant something different now. So I kind of look at it as our prejudices, if it's negative, and a lot of times it is, our thoughts of less than good. Really, snipping at the twigs is not going to do a lot. You've got to go in and do some real mental cleaning. And you pull up those bushes, you pull up those weeds, those things that are negative. And in its place, you place your love, which is really God's love, because it can only come through you. Everything you're doing is a manifestation of Spirit. So when you are sowing and expecting and reaping, that is God's way of working with this world. You look at the fact that it goes round and round. Have we heard this? Round and round. And where it stops, nobody knows. It's been doing this for millions of years. There have been seasons. There have been people. There have been animals. The birth, the death, the rebirth. And in unity, some of us think that we'll actually do the same thing. The birth, the death, the rebirth. It seems to be the way of things. Napoleon Hill called it nature's Bible. It's not written someplace. It's observed. So when I talk about sowing and reaping, I'm talking about more than just putting something in the ground and waiting. I'm talking about an expectant way to live. I think you get what you give. And I think you get more than what you give, depending on the intent with which you do it. In other words, I think a person who wishes to spread happiness and cheer where they go and with to whom they come in contact, has an abundance of enthusiasm, will get more than one who says, I'm going to try and go through this with this person and see what happens. I say throw it all out there. Be expansive. Love boldly. Life is messy. And thank God it's messy, because that's how we learn. We sometimes cut off relationships at the root because we don't think that it's benefiting us. And it may not be. But we don't know necessarily that it might not become something else. We have to give it time to grow, to blossom. We get tired and we want to pull that up and say, I'm going to go somewhere else, because we're very much wanting to see things now, now, now. We live in a now culture. And that's fine in technology in its place, but in the nature of human relationships and giving and receiving, there's a natural order and rhythm to it. And sometimes it isn't on our timetable. And that's the divine lesson of patience. And I remember in my life, I had to be patient, not only with Peppers, but with myself, with other people. And I had to wait to see what I wanted to see come forth. And the way I did that was behold in them what I wanted to see. I modeled what I wanted to see so that I could see it in them. In other words, if I said to somebody who was a challenge, you're just a challenge and it's not going to be work very well, but I'm going to tolerate this as best I can. Then my intent was just toleration, and I wasn't allowing something that may start off all messy and become perfect. You who have made omelets know that it doesn't work in a perfect way. You're going to crack eggs, and some shells may get in there, and you know, some of the egg may get done before the other. It's not always pretty. Growth isn't always pretty. It hurts. You ladies who've had babies know that. We men who have gone out and done some things that we're supposed, quote, supposedly, quote, to do, whether it's our yards or our cars, we know what it's like when we strain something, but it's also part of our growth. Everything that we do has an element of stress in it. The deal is to make that stress as positive as you can. Give to love. It's a selfish thing to do. Give yourself to your enterprise completely. It is a selfish thing to do. You get to grow from it. And when you grow from it, you get to model that to everybody that you meet. The idea is that, and if I'm saying it right, it all begins in here. That's the only place it can. You can have proscribed rules come to you from out there. People can tell you, this worked for me. People can say, I would prefer you be like this. But that's still a hand-me-down idea. You may want to follow some of it. Indeed, there may be no other way to do it but what they've said. But still, you want to own it. You want to work with it. See how it plays out. See the extrapolation of it in your life. That's the joy of being in human form. We get to see outside of us what we hold in here. Now, does that always work? I think so, but I don't know that we always understand it. And I don't always think we know it at the time. We may have to reach back a couple months, years, decades, and say, I know what that was for. I know why I reaped where I sowed. I know what I was thinking at the time. And I know that the law of good brought it into my manifestation for a reason. Everything you experience is for your ultimate good. A man named Prittis has written a book called The Way of Zen. He has formed a 12-step treatment center in Arizona, and he postulates that everything that happens in your life is for your ultimate good. Every turn of the road, every bend, every curve around it is something for your ultimate good. We don't know it necessarily at the time. I can remember the things that have made me grow the hardest and have stretched me the most were things that I would have said, never do I want to go through. And yet, in retrospect, I love the fact that I did it because it showed me I could do it, I could go through it, and I could grow through it. And there's nobody out here that's any different. Take a dollar out of your wallet and leave it in your nightstand, dresser, whatever. Leave it there. And what will happen? A year from now, it will stay there. You go and you put it in circulation in your bank. You're not going to get very much out of it, but you're going to have more in 5 years in a dollar than you have in your nightstand. You may have $1.05, but you still have gained something. I'm trying to bring it down to its basis level to let you know that the law of life is the law of circulation and that stagnation is death. That's why those who tend to worship creeds and worship dogma and doctrine, to me, strangle a living faith. It must be something that's moving inside of us, thought-wise as well as physically. Haven't you noticed that when there's a health challenge, there is always some place where there's a constriction? There's always some place where your body is trying to heal. Sometimes it needs help, but it does heal eventually, one way or another. The stopping of that force is like stepping on a garden hose. It's like killing the force, the very life force that's flowing through and makes everything new. I like to get off my hose and let it flow, mentally and physically. So when I talk about sowing and reaping, I'm not just talking about what was said in Galatians. I'm not just saying what was said in a particular book of the Bible, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I think we know that, especially physically. But I think we need to be reminded of it mentally. Because no matter whether our minds are on autopilot and we're continuing to think things we have for years, we're going to keep getting the same results out there unless we interrupt the flow here. That can be done to a counselor, a book, a class, a hypnotist, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a minister. All these things are abundantly available if you feel it may be beyond you at this moment. But one thing that's never beyond you at this moment is the power to choose. And by your choice, you determine what you'll reap. Because by your choice, you're sowing. So how would you get a better harvest if you want it? Or continue the one you have right now? Feed your mind expectation. You know, you don't have to be, quote, religious for this. Some people think that this is reserved for only those who practice it in the church at a certain time on Sunday. That's not true. It's universal. Its application is everywhere in all places. If you change your thought and change your mind, it must happen that your circumstances change. Either the circumstances will change, and I promise you they will eventually, or your attitude towards them will change. And if that happens, you're going to grow in ways that you never thought. I am not a fan of giving personal examples of my own life. I've often said, we all have stories. They can all be cute, and they can all be forgotten in a very little bit of time. But this one I'm going to share with you because it kept coming up in meditation time when I was thinking about what I wanted to say about sowing and reaping. When I left high school, I went straight to college. I wanted to get into business quickly. I was 18 years old. I wanted to be a realtor in a certain section of town. I had very set goals. I got into that college, and they didn't really want to let me in because of my age. And they said I'd be the youngest in the county if I even made it through. And they told me all the reasons I couldn't do it, which firmed me up to want to do it. I was determined to make my life and living at this. I wanted to. No break between school and the college. It happened that I found a man who believed in me enough to hire me. He said, I'm going to give you 6 months. I had passed the test, and I had even gotten certain things after my name, like CRS, which meant Certified Resident Specialist. GRI was Graduate Realtor Institute. I wanted all those things that could help an 18-year-old in business. He gave me a shot. He gave me a desk and a phone book and a phone. And he said, you got 6 months. And I got nowhere. The first month, the second month, the third month. I was coming to work to eat lunch. One day, I went to the corner of El Sendero and El Gusto. It's in a subdivision called El Dorado in San Antonio. I parked the car, and I said, I'm going to walk up and knock on every door on this street. There were about 24 houses. I walked to the first house with my business card in hand, and they said, thank you, and they closed the door. The second, the third, the fourth, it was just like that. The fifth, just like that. On the 11th, it happened. The woman said, I'm thinking of selling my house, but you're awful young. And I said, but if you give me a chance, and I do it well, will you do that? Will you give me that chance? And she said, I'm thinking about it. But as my hands are perspiring, and I think, this is my way to get on the board. Once I get on the board, I won't be stopped, I promise. She said, all right. And the lucky thing was, the house sold in 2 days, and I was on the board. And the next thing that happens, I thought, is every 11th house going to be the one? Don't work that way, but I knew that I had to keep going. I had to keep sowing the belief in myself, the belief in what I was doing, the belief that I could make a difference in this business. And that man, and I have no problem saying his name, J.W. Reeser, and his partner, Einie Strawn, who just passed away at 97, who I love so much. They believed in me, and they gave me that shot, and they honored me by making me their youngest sales manager in 1983, and I appreciate that. And I know I earned it, but I also know they gave me the opportunity. I sowed a belief that I could do it at a very young age, and it came true in a roundabout way, but it did. I'm telling you that you can change your attitude about yourself and what you're doing and reap a different result. I'm not talking about just money. I can also tell that story about a love relationship, a family relationship, a business deal. I've seen where when I sow different thoughts, I reap different results. As you sow, so shall you reap. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As above, so below. As within, so without. You see, there's a common theme. It recurs. It's circular. So it tells me that God, the eternal, is a God of completion, a circuitous God, one that understands the beginning, the middle, the end, and all those things about me that I may be so scared and maybe ashamed to admit. We all have it. We all have things we want to hide from the Almighty Presence. And I don't know why. Because that Presence sees all and knows all. It's right here. Might as well say, this serves me. Or change my mind about it and say, this doesn't serve me and I'll let it go. You know, they say, the New England conscience doesn't keep you from doing something. It just makes you feel guilty about it. So, it's all a matter of changing your expectations and changing your mind and affirming different results. So to return to the idea about small seeds making big bushes, think about just one or two thoughts in your mind, not necessarily having to do with money, but very well made. And think, if I could think about this differently, if I could feel about this differently, and I affirm that every day, I may get results that I didn't expect I'd have. Thoreau said, if you change your mind and a man changes his consciousness, he can expect to meet with success in uncommon hours. In other words, it comes when you don't know necessarily it's going to happen, but you just keep holding the thought. And we talk in unity and metaphysical churches, hold that thought. Hold the thought of health, wholeness, healing, completion. I'm doing it now for my predecessor, Eddie Edwards. And I have grown in a relationship with him and his wife in a wonderful way through this. What wonderful people they are, and people that I didn't know before. And I'm so happy to know now. It's the idea that I hold the very best I can think of and that God's plan is always perfect. So I need to align myself with perfection. I don't need to worry how I'm going to do it. I just need to step in and do it. It's a decision. Sowing and reaping is your decision in the way, and please hear this, in the way you put it out with the intent you use, the intent you have, can determine what comes back to you. So if you give of yourself or your money grudgingly, you may get it grudgingly back. Life is a mirror. It reflects into the thinker what he thinks or she thinks. So if with the intent of good and the expectation of wonder and the fact that I'm doing this because I may grow through it and not just go through it. Then you get an abundant harvest. You get a better chance of that than if you just said, well, here. Don't you love it when somebody expansively looks at you and says, here, take it, it's yours. Isn't that what God did when you were old enough to make a decision? Didn't you look at this world and say, it's mine. At 18, I'm going to go out and be a real estate agent. 17, I may go write a book. 20, I'm going to get married. 25, you know, whatever it may be, you got to choose. Your life was a blank canvas upon which you wrote what you wanted. We get a little older, and when we're not happy with what we wrote, but revisit it. It may be your greatest lesson. It may be the thing you're going to give thanks for in the end. It may be the thing that heals you when you thought you were broken by it for good. I'm enough of an optimist and I believe in the human spirit enough to know that what you think and what I think is a place to place a period. God always puts a comma. Even if it means more growth. Even if it means it's not quite finished the way you think it is. You're going to take the lessons from this and you're going to keep growing until the day you draw your last breath. And I believe you take those lessons with you
into eternity, and I believe your soul accrues knowledge that it needs as it returns ultimately to the Godhead. We're here on purpose. We are not accidents. God's perfect plan doesn't allow accidents. God only knows perfection about you. And when I say that, people say, but I know I'm imperfect. No, you're not. Because if you were imperfect, then life wouldn't be leading you upward. The force wouldn't heal your hand no matter what you did. The cut, the burn, there's always an intent for more life and upward thrust. That's what I want you to grab onto this morning. I didn't want to come give a trite, prosaic sermon about, well, if you give some money, you'll get some back. I think you know that. I think all of you here, excuse me, are true students enough to know those basic things. I want to talk about those things that may be non-material and may be part of the Spirit. Because the Spirit is what we're dealing with all the time. The outside and the material is just a reflection of our thoughts. You have to think it first to have it out here. And if I've done my job well, then you're thinking of ways already that you can let go of things that don't serve you so that you can reap a reward that's greater than what you've been through now. That's the promise of a new day. That's a promise of a new life. It's a decision. But just like me planting tomato seeds or pepper seeds, it's a decision. And I leave it there and I don't mess with it. I walk away. Well, in your mind, I think it's the best to leave it there, but affirm it. See it as already happening. Image it. Write it down. They say, write it down, make it happen. All these things are helping the great seeds of your mind sprout into your greater good. There's a method, and I want you to have that method before you leave. And the method is this. Didn't start with me. Christ Jesus said, forgive those that you hold anything against, and your prayers will be answered. The next thing he said is, seek you first the kingdom of heaven. And all these things will be added unto you. Not a few, but all. And I believe what he said. He also said, besides having aught against your brother, clear it with yourself. Know who you are. Every time he looked at somebody who needed to be healed, he saw them in perfection. He called forth the God presence inside them, which made them whole. So that perfection is inherent in you right now. And I want to say to each one of you, I see it in you. The Christ within me salutes the Christ within you. And what you want for your life and what represents the highest good for you, I support that right now. I'm on your side. So long as you're not going to go hurt somebody, and I don't believe you are, and I don't believe you're going to hurt yourself. But you're going to grow, and it may not always be pleasant, may not always be fun, but you're going to win because that's the way this universe is set up. You will win eventually. The fun is going through it. Alan Watts said, the universe isn't so much a straight line, it's a wiggle. It's gooey jelly and jelly goo. You know, we move this way and that way. It's not always linear. It's not always just stepwise. I remind you of that today to say, set those goals. Don't let them go. Clear your mind. Plant in the fertility of good soil. The master teacher also said, some seed fell on rocky ground and gave nothing. Some fell on fertile ground and gave a lot. Let your mind be fertile. Clear the negativities, the judgments, the resentments, the fears, the regrets, the broken promises to yourself, to others, that low opinion you have of yourself. If you have that, let it go. And watch what grow, what you plant. Watch it grow. Enjoy it. It's part of life. It's the fun of it. It's why we're here. We're here to produce. We're here to produce results. And the result will be a happy life. And whatever that means to you, whatever happiness means to you, I wish it to you in abundance. And I stand by it with you, and I claim it for you. And I see it done and completed right now. And so it is.